London is calling this week for the property podcast. It is a really, really interesting market now. Rentals are all over the place. Property prices, well, we'll discuss those. And of course, most importantly, what's going to happen in the future. And I think you'll be shocked by our conclusion.
Welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday, property investors come to be informed and inspired. London is always a hot topic when it comes to talking about property. It's caused us a few problems over the years as well. Our predictions regarding London have not exactly been spot on. But right now, the property market in London is absolutely fascinating. So much to say. So we're going to be getting into all that in this episode. And stick around to the end, because in Hub Extra, we've got a free app that's going to get you out and about and staying active.
So this week's news story comes from the Mortgage Strategy website, and the headline reads, Strongest Sellers Market for a Decade, and this is from Rightmove. So Rob, strongest in a decade, that's worth paying attention to.
It is. They're measuring this by number of inquiries per property, and it's 34% higher than it was for the same time last year. And it's worth remembering that the same time last year was a particularly busy month as well, because this was last February. So it was after some of the Brexit stuff had been sorted out. People were feeling newly confident, and it was before COVID hit us. So 34% up on an already busy month is a lot. And now, according to Rightmove, demand is exceeding supply by the greatest margin for 10 years. It's just another indicator of how hot the market is right now. The only exception, according to this article, is London, which we're talking about today. But everywhere else, the market is absolutely motoring, and there's just not enough stock around. Anecdotally, over the last week, I've spoken to three people who are selling properties at the moment. All of them had multiple offers and accepted an offer on the first day that their property went on the market. And so that is just anecdotal, but still just an interesting indication of how strong the market is.
I'm hearing exactly the same things, Rob. Friends of mine had their house on the market. First person to come and view it went in at full asking. I know somebody else who went to buy a property in Liverpool offered full asking, but then lost out because it actually went for 20,000 over the asking price.
Wow.
Now, again, these are just a couple of case points, but you're hearing it, I'm hearing it. The data is backing all of this up. It's interesting. It's not mainstream media that have latched onto this yet. That will come. But at the moment, it's still early days, but this year is looking very, very strong at the moment.
A common complaint of ours on the Property Podcast over the years has been that the media sees the London property market and assumes that it's the national housing market. Whatever London does always gets reported, and we've always said that you have to look beyond that. You have to see what's happening in the rest of the country. It's not always the same. And there have been great opportunities for people who are able to see beyond London and see what the rest of the country has to offer. But now we need to talk about London, because the whole country has changed over the result of the last year. Everyone's lifestyles have changed. The patterns of what people do has changed. Where they want to live has changed. I don't think I'm spoiling anything in this episode by telling you that London is not doing well. People are leaving, people are moving out, and of course, fewer tourists and international visitors are coming. So today we're going to talk about what that means. What does this mean for you if you are currently an investor in London, or you are planning to make an investment in London and now you're not so sure? Do recent developments mean that London is somewhere to stay away from for the foreseeable future, or are there opportunities hiding in the seeming doom and gloom? That is what we're going to explore today. So I've given a high-level overview of what is happening in London, Rob, but I think it's worth getting into in a bit more detail, because all the headlines are about how people are moving out of London. People listening, chances are, if they live in the southeast, they will either have done this themselves or they'll know people who are moving out of London or thinking about it. But is this something that is just overhyped? Well, when you look at the stats, no, there's actually a lot going on here.
There certainly is. So the London Assembly Housing Committee has published some interesting results from a survey they carried out. And it says that 1 in 7 Londoners, so that's 14%, want to leave the city as a result of COVID-19. Now, remember, people want to do things. They don't necessarily follow through on them, but that's a high number of the population of London that is considering moving. I want to live in Barbados. I probably won't. So it's probably worth acknowledging that in a survey, it's quite easy to say that you want to move, but will you follow through on it? A third of Londoners want to move to a new home. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean move out of London, because when you look at those people who want to move, 46% want the home to be out of London and 43% want to remain in the city. And it's no surprise that the priority for these people who are considering moving is a garden, a balcony, or proximity to green areas, parks. And London has a lot of those, fortunately. So Rob, that is interesting, and it is interesting to actually have a survey. Lots of people have opinions on London, but have that data. I don't think anyone's going to be shocked by that data, but it's interesting to see it in black and white.
It is. So that's intentions, but what's actually happening? It's hard to get a measure of these things, but according to an estimate by the Economic Statistics Centre of Excellence, catchy name, 700,000 foreign-born residents may have left London already. So again, this is just an estimate. We don't know this has happened. But 700,000 is equal to 8% of the overall population of London. And they're just talking about foreign-born residents. So there are two big reasons that they may have left. One of them is Brexit-related. The other is wanting to go back to family when COVID hit. And maybe people who are foreign-born and are younger may have been working in the service sector, which of course has been particularly badly hit. They may also have been students and finding that they don't need to attend university anymore. So there are obvious reasons why this may have happened. I don't know if these statistics are correct, but that's certainly a big number. And remember that that is only talking about foreign-born residents. There are plenty of people who were born in the UK, but are also leaving London, going in search of more space at a more affordable price, going in search of a garden. And maybe they've wanted to do that for a long time, but they've been tethered to London by a job, and now they're not. So this is all supposition and surveys and estimates. But is it really happening? Well, if it is, you'd expect it to feed through into rental prices. And it seems like that is what's happening.
Yes, according to data from Rightmove, UK's biggest city centres saw annual falls of up to 12% in the last quarter of 2020. And no prizes for guessing which area was hit the hardest. It was inner London, with asking rents falling annually by 12.4%. Massive. That was followed by Edinburgh at 10%, and then falling off quite a bit from there was Manchester, down at 5.3%. So London, way, way, way out there when it comes to rents falling. And as Rob said already, a lot of people have left the cities. So London is our, you know, international city. Edinburgh certainly is an international city as well. So when the world locks down, international cities will be hit the hardest. So while those numbers are big, they're not surprising. And the number of rental stock on the market in some city centres has doubled. The biggest jumps are in Leeds, followed by inner London and Nottingham. All have seen their rental stock more than double. So therefore, it is absolutely a renter's market.
It really is, because you've got a whole lot less demand. And there's also research from Spareroom talking about house shares in particular, showing that demand has decreased by 43% in some areas of London, 19% if you take London as a whole. You've also at the same time got more supply, because you've got accommodation that was being used as short-term lets for people who are travelling for business or holidays, which has now gone back into the rental market because not a lot of people are travelling for business or holidays at the moment. You've also got stock that would have previously been in the student market, which is now going back into the general market because there aren't so many students around, which is going to be a factor in London. And I suspect that's why supply has driven in Leeds and Nottingham as well, because they're big student cities where suddenly there aren't so many students around. So put it all together, and it's no surprise that rents are falling. I've spoken to a fair number of people who rent out property in London. They are almost all accepting new tenants on lower rents than their last set of tenants, often by 10% or more. And a lot of people are saying that existing tenants are trying to negotiate their rent down because they know that this shift is happening. I rent in London by choice, and even though I'm happy where I live, I'm looking around and seeing what's out there because there are so many great deals around. And this is a real turnaround because rental prices in London historically have been very high. There's been loads of demand. It's hard to find somewhere decent. There hasn't been a lot of choice. But now all of a sudden over the last year, that has completely shifted. So that's great news for you if you are renting in London. Not such good news for you if you own property in London. And I'm not looking forward to when my relets come up in London. But if you do own property in London, are you going to get a double blow? Is the value of your investment going to fall as well? And if you're thinking about investing in London, are you going to get a lower price? Well, we need to talk about house prices, Rob.
We do, because while rentals have collapsed, house prices so far haven't. So if we look at the data from the Land Registry last year, we can see that house prices in London, despite all this happening and despite COVID and the lockdowns, went up. And it went up by 7%. So what's happening? We've got a market on the rise, seemingly, from house prices and rents collapsing. Now, that was last year. So we don't have much data for 2021 because we haven't had much of 2021. But so far, Zoopla, using the data they have, and we think it's using the prices agreed, although it's not completely clear, shows that property prices in the last 3 months is down by about 2.3%. So a meaningful change in a short amount of time. So does that mean that house prices were just lagging and the rents have collapsed and now house prices are to follow? Well, it's probably not that simple, is it, Rob? Because in the past, London acted as one. There was London and the London property prices. And after the crash last time round, London property prices fell. And then London property prices recovered really quickly. And then London property prices boomed. And over the last few years, London property prices haven't done much at all. In fact, in real terms, they've probably been falling slightly. But certainly for the short term, we can't really talk about London property prices anymore, because London now, as a city, as far as property prices and rental prices are concerned, is fragmented.
It really has, and it makes it hard to figure out what's actually going on. Like you said, you could previously talk about London as a block, or maybe you could talk about like inner London and outer London, so that you generally assume that prices would go up in the centre of London first and ripple out from there, the ripple effect that we've talked about before. But it's not that straightforward anymore, and that's because of the drivers for what's currently happening. So there are parts of London that are very leafy and very pleasant, and other parts of London just down the road from those, which are not so leafy and not so pleasant and maybe a bit more built up. And in normal circumstances, yeah, of course, if you could afford to live in the leafier bit, then you would. But because so many of the shifts at the moment are being driven by people's lifestyle changes and their working patterns, you're seeing far more of a disconnect. So people who were living in the less green parts of London may find that they can suddenly move out because they're working from home now, or they're willing to move out a little bit and have a longer commute because they're only going in a couple of days a week. But then you've also got people who really do want to stay in London, who are suddenly finding more space and greenery to be more important to than ever before as a result of what's happened over the last year. So demand in those areas is actually going up. So you can end up with two areas that are half a mile away from each other where the prices are going in completely opposite directions. And it's so hard to get a grip on this, Rob, because it doesn't break down neatly by zone or by borough or by anything else, really. One of the defining features of London is it's got so many areas, all with their own individual character, and you can just turn a corner and suddenly be in a completely different environment. And that makes it exceptionally difficult to look at any source of data and figure out what's actually going on.
And while all this may make it very interesting, certainly for podcasters who like to talk about property, it makes it very challenging for you as an investor, because what's going to happen to London property prices? Are they going to follow yields downwards? Of course, it's hard to say, but we've never shied away from making predictions before. And the great thing about this prediction is the data isn't really out there to dismiss it or unfortunately validate it in the future anyway. But it wouldn't be surprising to see that some areas do fall and property prices move downwards, at least in the short term. But there will be other areas, leafier areas, places like Richmond, Hampstead Heath, Muswell Hill come to mind, that will probably do quite well, because although they are in London, they're almost like their own little bubbles and they've got loads of green areas and people really want to live there. Places like that could probably ignore the rest of London and property prices move upwards, because you've got this transfer within London itself. Even though people have moved out of London, there are still many millions left and who are very happy living there, but possibly want to change the way they live. So we've used the word fragmented, but I think it really is more than ever now. So that's now, and that's certainly the short term. But of course, we need to discuss what happens next, more in the medium and long term. Because, Rob, London is an international city, and that's not changed. Travel may be restricted, but it won't be forever. I'm sure even the biggest pessimists will acknowledge that. And people will want to go to London, visit London, and live in London. Now, if you are from the UK, you may not feel as emotional as that. But think about other cities around the world that you love, like Rome or New York. The thought of visiting and possibly even living in those cities may be appealing. And it's going to be exactly the same for people around the world when they look to London. So in the medium to long term, tourists will come back. People from overseas will move back to London. And students will come back as well. Is that enough, though, Rob, to lift property prices and rents? It's hard to say, isn't it?
It is hard to say. And you're right. I mean, tourism will come back. Students will come back because some of the best universities are in London, and tuition will, I'm sure, go back to being in person. And I also think that people are going to want to going back to having a city lifestyle. Not everyone, of course. Some people didn't want to before, and some people would have reassessed what they want and thought, oh, actually, I thought I liked all that, but actually, I quite like the peace and quiet and being out somewhere a bit more suburban or rural. But there are a lot of people who are going to be raring to get back to everything that London has to offer under normal circumstances. The big question mark hanging over the whole thing for me, though, is the whole work from home situation. Because some people live in London because they love it, it's where they want to be. Some people live in London because it's where the jobs are in their sector, and for their career, they need to be in London. What if that's not the case anymore? What if they don't have to be in London? Or probably more realistically, what if they don't have to be in the office all the time? If you do end up with a situation where people only have to go into the office once or twice a week, then location within London becomes less about how close are you to transport links or how close are you to the office, and more what environment do I want to be in. And it could also contribute to movement out of London, because it means that places like Kent and Brighton and all kinds of places are commutable if you're doing it once a week, whereas you probably wouldn't want to do it every day. But there's no guarantee that's going to happen. What proportion of people are going to go back to 9 to 5 in the office every day, and what proportion aren't? We don't know. We have no idea what working patterns are going to be like. And for me, Rob, I can see inside a couple of years everything else coming back. But it's the working patterns that I'm least certain about. And that, I think, is going to have a really big bearing on patterns of demand and therefore house prices and rents.
And I think this is where the market then could remain fragmented, because places like Richmond are lovely to live whether you're working from home or not, you know, but built up areas of London, you may start to question your lifestyle choices and go, well, I'm only going into the office 2 days a week. Why don't I move further out? And that's where it makes it more difficult to invest in London. But possibly a property podcast first, certainly for myself, I'm going to talk up London a little bit. I think it's one to watch. I personally wouldn't be investing in London right now. I think you'd have to be very, very brave to be doing that. But I do believe it's a market to keep your eye on, because there will be opportunities within what's become this fragmented market. Some areas will be prime for investment, because locally it offers what most people will want and need, the benefits of living in a city. And let's remember, there are a lot. And the green. London is a very green city, certainly many parts of it. So those areas could satisfy people's wants and needs as well. So I think as an investor, keeping an eye on it is worthwhile, because London may become a little bit more stable and secure, and because prices have moved, if you get in ahead of the trend, an opportunity for investors. And I know it's odd that London is possibly looking at its worst right now for property, but that's when you need to wake up. When an area isn't performing as well, it doesn't mean you go in then, but you start to watch it.
Exactly right. You have to have a bit of a contrarian streak, but that's how you get results. If you wait until the media is saying how great London's doing again, well, by that point, you've missed the opportunity. And I was doing the same thing last year, sort of around about April, May time, when everything was looking really grim. I was getting all my watch lists set up on Rightmove and thinking, oh, brilliant. If prices take a real hit here, then I'm going to be really interested about getting into London, which I haven't done for years. Then, of course, that turned out not to happen. But if it does happen, then I'm certainly going to be getting interested. But like we said, Rob, it's going to be difficult to find a data source that really tells you what's going on and what the opportunities are. Because you said fragmented, and I think that is the best word for it. And it's fragmented along lines where you can't look at it by postcode or by anything else. So I think there are potential opportunities in London, but you really have to be doing your own research here and doing it on quite a granular level as well.
You certainly do. And our opinion of where to invest this year hasn't changed, for the record. And one of the areas we said to keep an eye on as well for this year is the home counties, because it's very close to London. You can still commute in, but there's a lot of greenery there. And the market seems very active right now. So if you're looking for some southeast exposure in the short term, then that might be an area to consider. But London in the medium term, or even short to medium term, could become an option as well. There are much safer bets right now. But on the Property Podcast, we like to try and spot future trends. And sometimes this has worked out really well for us and therefore you. And sometimes we've been far too early. But whatever happens, London is going to be really interesting to watch and talk about over the coming months. So I'm sure this won't be the last podcast on London we do this year. We'll probably pick this subject back up towards the end of the year and see what's happened and assess if it's now a time to be looking to invest. So at the moment, put it on your watch list. Don't action it unless you're really, really keen. And we'll dig deep with you later this year.
It's time now for that part of the show where we share the success story of a listener just like you. And this week it's to turn in a spotlight of Pi? P-I? Not sure, don't know how you pronounce their name. But in any case, this person has said, during lockdown, I read all the Property Hub books, listened to the podcasts and the free education. End result is that I've now started my property investment business and have two flats rented out with good returns. Property Hub is a great one-stop shop to educate yourself in property investment and develop a strategy. I can honestly say they're the reason I finally took the plunge. We've had a few of these recently. Well, it's good to hear about people taking action at any time, but especially at a time like this, when it has been a lot more challenging, both practically and emotionally. So well done to you. Getting started and getting those two flats is a really great result. And if you have got a success story of your own, whatever success means to you for the stage of the journey you're at, doesn't have to be totally spectacular, but if you count it as a win, we want to hear from you. You can find us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Property Hub UK. You can let us know on the Property Hub forum, or you can leave us a podcast review and mention it there. We love those as well.
We certainly do, and we love giving you more. Yes, it's time for Hub Extra, the part of the show where we like to give you that little bit more. And this, of course, is all backed up by the Hub Extra email that goes out to everybody who's part of the Property Hub community. Are you not part of our community yet? Why not? Sort that out. Go to the Property Hub website, sign up for a free account, and you can take advantage of all the resources that we have on that website. And, of course, get the Hub Extra email in your inbox every single Friday. And this week, we've got the perfect Hub Extra resource for you, because it's called Old Trails. And I actually have to thank my mum for this one, because she recommended this to me. A lot of us are getting out and about more than ever and walking all over the place, which is absolutely fantastic. I hope that's a trait that many of us carry forward when we come out of lockdown. But you may, like me, find yourself walking similar routes. You know, I try and mix it up, but it's hard to find new routes. Well, Old Trails helps you out. It's free to sign up to. And once you put your local area in, it gives you loads of suggested walks which you can tackle. I've certainly picked up a few new ones from downloading the app, even in my immediate area, so that's super cool. And if you visit a new area, I know a lot of people will be having holidays in the UK this year, it's great for finding the best walks of the places that you visit. So because it's free, it's a no-brainer. Download it. It's available on Android and the Apple Store. And get out there and start walking.
And to keep it extra relevant to this episode, I've just been looking at London while you're talking, and it's got loads of walking routes for London as well. As we were saying, London is surprisingly green, and there are lots of hidden paths and routes and things like that. So that sounds like a great app to check out wherever you live. Well, that is us done for this week. We've said everything that we can about the future of London right now, but we will be talking about it again later in the year, because this is definitely a topic that property investors will want to keep on top of. But there are plenty of other topics as well, of course, and we're going to be getting into one of those next week on the Property Podcast on Thursday. And before then, we'll be answering a couple of your questions in Ask Rob and Rob on Tuesday. So until we see you for those, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.